From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The reality described today as systemic racism has been present in one form or another in our society for centuries, as we've discussed on the program before. From slavery to sundown towns, it also includes redlining, disinvestment, and other institutional biases. But it can be difficult to quantify just how systemic racism affects black populations and other people of color in the present day. That's one of many questions a commission in Peoria County has been trying to answer over the past few years. The Joint Commission on Racial Justice and Equity was formed in late 2020 in the wake of the killing of George Floyd. The first phase of the commission's efforts culminated at the end of last month when it released a 30-page report outlining racial inequalities in both the city and the county. Joining us to talk about what they found and what they're doing about it are the co-chairs of the commission's steering committee, Mary Peterson and Timothy Birchie. Both of you, welcome to The 21st Show. Thank you for making the time to be with us.
Thank you very much.
And in order to make our schedules meet, I should say to listeners, we are not taking calls live during this conversation. We taped this on Tuesday morning. Because of that, as I said, we're not taking calls live, but we do want to hear from you. So you can leave us a voicemail anytime, day or night, at 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. Okay, let's start with the big picture here. And Mary Peterson, I want to begin with you. How severe were the results? How significant are the disparities?
Well, we looked at 8 separate categories, and they were very disparaging. Our 8 categories are our subcommittees, that's child and youth development, economic development and jobs, environment and climate, health and human services, housing, information technology, justice system, and transportation and mobility. As a steering committee, we looked at some key indicators as well. And one of the key indicators was that there's a 15-year difference between whites and blacks in terms of life expectancy. The value of the household, the value of the house, there's a drastic difference. It's 59% black homeowners is at 59% of that of white. And then in terms of elevated lead found, 10.1 of black children have lead, whereas there's 6.3. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Again, each one of those other subcommittees that I mentioned, the numbers are, they're alarming. Yeah. And they're life altering.
So you mentioned life expectancy and wealth, household wealth, as well as lead levels in children. Tim Birchie, I want to bring you into the conversation now. There's obviously a lot to dig into in the details here. What was one finding, though, that really stood out to you?
I think probably the most alarming to me had to do with educational achievement, educational readiness. The study showed that in Peoria, at the time of kindergarten, 35.3% of white children were ready for what they were going to be facing in kindergarten, whereas the black population was 17.7%. So, 50% difference there. By the time, though, that the children reached third grade in English proficiency, 26.6% of whites in the community have what would be acceptable proficiency in English, but with respect to the black population, black youth, it's only 3.6%. Math proficiency shows a similar development. By eighth grade, white students have a math proficiency of roughly 32% of the white students, and with blacks, 3.8%. So what we're seeing is that whereas students come to school with a disparity between the populations and their readiness, that disparity grows as they go through school.
Yeah, and that's a key take.
That has an effect upon the rest of their lives, doesn't it? It has an effect upon readiness for high school, readiness for college, or ability to get to college, and then what the job market is.
So, Mary Peterson, what a report like this does is quantify what something that people either suspect or know deeply in their sort of lived experience. Was there anything about this report, though, that you found surprising?
No, just the numbers, just the sheer percentage of numbers. Again, as you said, you know it, and especially if you've lived it and you've seen it up front personally. But we still have people in our community when we've had discussions as it relates to racial disparities and there being a difference in the people of color community, especially African-American and Latinx. People say that we don't have any racial disparities in our community. And we've had some people say that, but these numbers show the picture, the big picture. And so it's very hard now, in my opinion, for people to say that there are no disparities in the city of Peoria and the county of Peoria based on these numbers. And that's one of the reasons why we created this baseline data.
And Tim Burchie, let me ask you, if the focus of this report is, of course, on Peoria, both city and county, do you imagine, is Peoria unique here, or would Bloomington Normal, Champaign-Urbana, Springfield, would you find something similar to these these results, or is there something unique about Peoria? Yeah,
that's a great question. I've thought about that. I suspect from what I've seen and what I've read that the numbers would be very typical of what we would see in other communities in Illinois, and for that matter, the Midwest, and perhaps the entire country, but at least in Illinois, I think that they would be certainly very consistent. And so really, the point to be made by your question is that while this is alarming for Peoria, this is really alarming for communities like Peoria in the state and region. There is a substantial disparity. And the question, of course, now that the baseline's been developed is, what are we going to do about it?
And I want to come back to that question of what we're going to do about it. First, let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about a new report looking at quantifying racial disparities, systemic racism in Peoria City and County. It's the work of the Peoria Joint Commission on Racial Justice and Equity. And we're speaking with the co-chairs of the steering committee of that group, Mary Peterson and Timothy Burchie. We're not taking calls live today because we taped this conversation Tuesday morning in order to make our schedules meet. But we do appreciate hearing from you. What you thought about what we discussed, let us know by email. talk@21stshow.org is the address. talk@21stshow.org. We may share your response in a future conversation. So before we get into what we do about it, I want to talk about how we got here. And Mary Peterson, the report does go into detail about what factors led Peoria to where it is now in terms of systemic racism. But can you just talk about some of that history and how it connects to the present?
Well, as you mentioned, the first part of the report, we talk about disparities. We start talking about the fight against slavery here in the Peoria, city of Peoria and Peoria County. But one of redlining in the institutionalization of redlining being that it was legalized to prevent especially Blacks from living in certain communities by through the real estate, by putting a red line around areas in which Blacks were not supposed to be able to live and not them not be able to get loans. So for example, the blue meant that it was still a desirable area, that when the realtors had their maps on their walls or however they had the maps, yellow meant that it was declining, and red meant that it was hazardous. And so then you start to move Blacks into certain areas together and them not be able to live wherever it is that they wanted to live. And so once you start that, and then you start to disinvest in that community based on who's living there, then things continue to decline. One of the fights here in Peoria, the NAACP took up the fight for fair employment, and they continue to look at the employment. But John Gwynn was historic in looking at the labor market in Peoria and ensuring that Blacks had the right, had access to the same employment opportunities that whites did. And so all of those things had to be fought for. They were just not, as an American, the playing field was not level that everyone could had rights and the same rights as whites. And so those things had to be fought for. And we're talking about going back to 1895, you know, the right to vote. So when you start looking at all of that, and people of color are already at a disadvantage, and then you move forward, and like I said, you have to fight for it, and you have to continue to have to fight for some of those rights. Just to name a few.
Yeah. So Tim, Mary was talking about the past there. What is your understanding of what's still driving these disparities into the present?
Well, I think it's a variety of things. And it is all tied to the past, obviously. The income inequalities have to do with educational disparities that were created by a school system that until 50 years ago was, say 60 years ago, was separate but equal, but not really equal by any stretch of the imagination system. You know, that's a generational issue. Once education is at a disparate level, it's hard to catch up on that, except over a period of many generations. We're not there yet. So that's part of the problem. The redlining issue that Mary mentioned has to do with house values, which for many people is the primary asset they own. And with the disparity that exists in household value between white and black, it has a true impact upon their overall financial standing. So has anything changed substantially in recent years to modify this? The answer is simply no.
Tim Burchie, can you talk a little bit about the work that went into the committee itself, into producing this report, finding this data, doing this research?
We had 160 people who initially began work with us as volunteers on the commission. And as Mary indicated earlier, we were divided into nine groups, eight subcommittees, and then the steering committee. We first developed, when I say we, I'm talking about this group as a whole, because we worked it together. We developed a plan that involved four steps. The first step of the plan was to create the baseline that we're talking about. Now, we began our work during the time of COVID, and so meeting in person was not an option. There were problems with simply a lot of people didn't know each other. And so developing relationships that are so essential to successful projects of this type over Zoom was one of the largest challenges that we faced. But as we began to work through the baseline, I think people became more comfortable with what we were doing and became more comfortable with each other. You know, the work, I think, progressed fairly quickly and well, and ended up in the development of this report and leads us then into the next phases of our work.
And we need to take a break in about a minute here. But Mary, before we do, can I ask you to just talk briefly about the importance of this being a partnership between the city and the county, and how you make sure that maybe people who aren't in the city proper are included in this sort of thing?
So as Tim mentioned, we started with 160 residents, and applications were taken both in the city of Peoria as well as the county. And so each subcommittee, when they were put together, were intended to be diverse by design, not only in terms of gender, ethnicity, but also in residential location. And so we made sure that we got applications from residents in the county.
All right, we're going to take a quick break on the program. When we come back, more on a new report from the Joint Commission on Racial Justice and Equity in Peoria City and County. We're talking about that with Mary Peterson and Timothy Birchie, who are co-chairs of the commission's steering committee. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just joining us, we are talking about a report out of Peoria City and County. It's from the Joint Commission on Racial Justice and Equity, which was formed late in 2020 in the wake of the killing of George Floyd and the protests for racial justice that happened that year. There is a report that came out, a 30-page report, the initial report from this group, outlining racial inequalities in both Peoria City and County. We're talking about that with the co-chairs of the commission's steering committee, Timothy Birchie and Mary Peterson. We taped this conversation on Tuesday morning. Because of that, we're not taking calls live, but you can always let us know what you thought by leaving a voicemail at 217-300-2121. That'll pick up anytime, day or night, 217-300-2121. So before the break, we were talking about what's in the report, how the report was gathered. Let's talk now about what we do with this information, what happens next. Timothy Birchie, I'm going to begin with you. I understand this report is just phase one of the commission's work. So what happens now?
Developed a four-phase work plan. And for those people who have worked on a project like this before, it's not surprising. I think it follows the normal process that would be expected. So our first step was the baseline, creating baseline for two purposes. One is to prove the case, as Mary talked about earlier, that substantial disparities do exist in our community. But the second reason for the baseline, obviously, is to see over time what progress is made against what the baseline shows. The second phase of our project, which we're moving into now, involves developing strategic plans. What we'll do is take community input, best practices of other communities that have been engaged in this in a similar process, and combine those into a series of strategic plans that are centered around the eight subgroups that make up our commission. The third phase will be an implementation phase in which we will create specific implementation plans for each of the strategic directives that were established. And then the fourth phase is just to monitor and modify as need be.
How receptive have you found city and county leaders to taking action on this?
Incredibly responsive. And in fact, we've talked about the fact that our baseline report not being particularly flattering in its portrayal of racial issues in our community could have been met with, let's say, rejection or the like by the city and county, and to the contrary, we've had nothing but a positive response from both. When we were set to publish the report, we sent a preliminary draft of it to the city and county for them to review and comment on. We were asked to change nothing. We were asked to delete nothing. We were asked to modify nothing. Again, I feel that the response was incredibly positive to what what we're doing and how the city and county can participate in that.
Mary Peterson, reckoning with systemic racism is, of course, an ongoing process, and this is something that's been present in our society for centuries now. Do you think the work of this commission will ever be done?
Not in my lifetime, but we're making progress. The fact that this commission was created by the city and county together, and with the understanding that many of the disparities, they're institutionalized, and they're steeped in many of the policies that are set forth by government, and the fact that Peoria and the city of Peoria and Peoria County wanted to look at themselves and say, where are we? And whatever we find, we want to work on it. So we've got a long road ahead of us. Our commission was mirrored after what's happening in King County in Washington State. And it took them over 10 years to get to where we are. And we've been fortunate to be able to talk with them and to look at what they are doing to be a guide for us. And so we're a step ahead of them because of what they have done, but we know that we've got a long road ahead. We're optimistic about it, but there's a lot of work that has to be done, a lot of policies, a lot of that has to be changed in order for this to take effect. And that takes time because you really have to dig deep, and we have more work to dig deep into this. Tim mentioned we need to go, we're planning to go to the community because we need to know what it is that the community is saying are the issues and challenges for them. And then also, what do they think are some of the recommendations or solutions to some of these barriers that exist? So we've got a long road. And, you know, can I sit here and say that this will come to an end? This work won't be needed in 15 years, 20 years. I can't say that because, again, it took us 400 years to get here. So we can't solve this overnight. It's not going to be solved overnight. And if we put solutions out there without them being steeped in data, both quantitative and qualitative, and without the input and support of the community, we can say that these are the solutions, but they may not be the exact solutions that we need specifically for Peoria and Peoria County. And then we're going to be back where we started. So we've got to put in more work to get to some solutions and recommendations that are going to be sustainable, life-sustaining, long-term.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying about, you know, took 400 years to get to this point. Do you ever worry, though, or how do you think about, maybe I should ask it, how do you think about potentially another generation of these inequalities becoming entrenched as you are trying to get this work done?
I think when you look at what we had no choice but to look at when we were in the thick of COVID and what transpired with George Floyd, which was the impetus, one of the impetus for this, you and in the aftermath in terms of the rallies, the young people were the ones who were out advocating for change. And so we've got a resurgence of them being aware and wanting change. And that's going to help tremendously in terms of getting to some of these changes because they're going to be working in it and not sitting on the sidelines, and they're demanding it. And they are our future. And so they're going to say, I want a future that looks like this. And so that's going to help the process quite a bit. We still may have another generation, but it's going to, the hopes and the, that it's, the numbers are going to change and that we're going to see progress. And progress that is sustainable and not changes that happen and then some policies come back in and flip all of that and we go back to where we started.
Mary Peterson and Timothy Burchie are co-chairs of the Steering Committee of the Peoria Joint Commission on Racial Justice and Equity. Thank you both for being with us to talk about this important work today on the 21st Show.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.